Well, good morning again. So glad you're here with us and glad you're worshiping with us on the live stream as well. So thankful for our Kids Zone volunteers faithfully teaching our kids the Word of God systematically and lovingly week in and week out. Hey, question. What was your relationship with your dad like? So, did your dad want a relationship with you? Some of you would say, yes, my dad really pursued a relationship with me. He hung out with me, made time for me, was around. Some of you would say, I didn't have a dad in my life at all. And some of you would be somewhere in between. For those of you who had a dad in your life, what did he teach you? What did you learn from your dad? Your dad teach you his favorite sport? Did he teach you how to deal with finances? Did he teach you maintenance on a vehicle or how to work on a house? What did your dad teach you? It's going to be a little bit more of a sensitive question, but how did your dad handle his anger? Was it like this passive, slow burn? Or was it this hair trigger, volcanic rage? Or was it somewhere in between? I'm asking this question because I'm really after what is your relationship like with God? And kind of what's underneath the relationship of those two questions is I just think that because Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, that we can't help but bring baggage or bring what we know of our dad to that prayer of our Father who is in heaven. And so some of that stuff will have to be unlearned. Some of that stuff will have to renew our mind and really think differently about God and consciously think differently about God than we do our dad. As we get to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Scripture, it will help redeem or clarify what we believe and know about God and our relationship with the Lord. So before we jump in and read Scripture and talk about the God who wants a relationship with you, I thought we would stop and pray. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would stand in front of me while I'm in front of them and talk over me while I talk to them. Lord, that you would make your character clear this morning. Help us know you and trust you in a deeper way. Help us relate to you in just a closer way as a result of being in your word this morning. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are in Genesis chapter 18. And you remember God has decided that they needed a house call, Abraham and Sarah. And so he shows up and says, about this time next year, Sarah will have a baby. And Sarah laughs because it had been 24 years that she'd been hearing that. And she had her doubts. And God just meets her in that moment and encourages her faith, and according to Hebrews, she ended up believing. And so that's kind of what has just taken place in Genesis 18. So here we are in verse 16. And the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. So if you've been with us for a couple weeks in Genesis here, you know that Sodom had a reputation, and it wasn't a good reputation. Genesis 13:13 says, "Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord." And so the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them and set them on their way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" Why would I hide it from him? We have a relationship, so I'm just going to tell him. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. Fascinating. I'm hearing terrible things. I'm going to go down for myself, do a full investigation, and then I'll know. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said to him, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? You're going down there and probably going to destroy Sodom. Let's talk about this first. Are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Is that what you're going to do? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? You didn't do that. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. You wouldn't do that, would you? Far be that from you. Shall the judge of the earth do? Shall not the judge of the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in that city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham was like, whew, that was close. No, Abraham keeps going. Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I who am but dust and ashes, suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. And again he spoke to them and said, suppose 40 are found there. And he answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. He's got him to come down 3 times. Like, it's time to quit, right? That's enough, right? Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He was going down by 5s. Now he's like, why not just 10? Let's just go for it. Suppose 30 are found there. And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Now he's done, though, right? Not yet. He said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And he answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. I'm going to ask one more time, and I'm going to ask big. Suppose 10 are found there. And he answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way. And when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Hey, from this passage, what do you learn about God? One of the things I learn about God from this passage is that God seriously really does want a relationship with you. He really does want a relationship with you. With this go back and forth of, well, this many, God, this conversation, God really does want a relationship with you. And you see this because God initiates the relationship with Abraham over and over and over again throughout this narrative. So as we look back in Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kinsmen. You go to the land that I'm going to show you, the land of promise. This is how the relationship starts, not with Abram looking for God, but with God calling to Abram. Then in chapter 13, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you big. Then in chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, "Fear not, Abram." And then he kind of reaffirms the promise with him. Then in chapter 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty." Then again in chapter 18, the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. And now we see finally here in the second half of 18:17, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Do you see how God pursues a relationship with Abraham? This is what God is like with you, and this is what God is like with me, that God pursues a relationship with you. He really does want a relationship with you. So if you had a dad who was never around, who was never there, who never pursued a relationship with you, it might be really hard for you to believe all the way down to the core of your being that God wants a relationship with you, but He does. This is why we read Scripture, so that we can know the truth, so that we can have our minds renewed, so we can know what God is really like. And what God is really like is that He really does want a relationship with you. He really wants to know you, and He really wants you to know Him. Number one, God wants a relationship. Number two, God wants obedience. So that He may command. So this is verse 19. So that, because He's calling, "For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing justice and righteousness." So Abraham is going to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, he's going to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah. But in order for him to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah, he has to be different than Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus is going to call us to be the light of the world, but for us to be the light of the world, we have to be different than the world. He's going to call us to be the salt of the earth, but if we're going to be the salt of the earth, we can't be as rotten as, and if we're going to be the preservative, we can't be rotten too. You see how we have to be different. Now, how are we different? We're different, but because we have learned to obey Him and keep His commandments, by doing righteousness and justice. So He wants obedience, but not just from Abraham. He wants Abraham to teach his children, that he may command his children and his household after him. So everybody in his household. The Apostle Paul kind of reiterates this. He tells children to obey their parents, and then he charges. Do you remember who he charges? Ephesians chapter 6, do you remember? Did he say, "And parents"? Do you remember? Is that what he says? Did he say, "And parents"? No. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Probably like, push them so hard they think they can never be good enough. "Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Dad, this is primarily your job. Primarily. Mom will gravitate towards it, but Dad, this is primarily your job. To bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To bring them up in justice and righteousness. To bring them up to know the Lord and obey Him. So the Lord, number one, initiates the relationship. He wants a relationship. Number two, He wants us to obey, and He wants us to teach our kids to obey. And then number three, the Lord, do you see it here? He is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. This is why He does the thorough investigation. It's not hair trigger wrath. Sodom and Gomorrah have had a reputation for a very long time. And He says, "I'm going to go down and investigate." And in the Old Testament, you couldn't prosecute someone without the witness or testimony of two witnesses. And so He sends two angels down there to see if it's as bad as He's hearing it is. You see, this is not hair trigger wrath. This is being slow to anger. And he says to Abraham, essentially, "Talk me out of it." So Abraham can intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham prays and asks for mercy. I just want you to see here the heart of Abraham. Abraham, to me, is contrasted with Jonah. When God calls Jonah and says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach repentance to that city, Jonah's like, oh, nuts! They need destruction! Don't we want to destroy them? I'm not going there because if I go there, they might repent and you might show them mercy. And Abraham's like, how about I just pray for mercy? How about I just ask that the righteous there be spared? God is slow to anger. He's slow to anger. So, if the Lord wants a relationship with you, wants obedience from you, and is slow to anger, what should we do? Well, number one, I'd say first, what we should do is we should listen to him. Like, he wants this relationship with us. We should listen to him, and we should get to know him. We should pursue a relationship with a God who is pursuing a relationship with us. So, number one, get to know him. And you might be like, well, I would have a relationship with God. Like, it'd be a lot easier to have a relationship with God if he'd stand next to me and talk to me as a friend like he did with Abraham. You ever felt like that? I have, lots of times. Like, it's hard, like, it was easier for them back then. But here's what I want to remind you of. Maybe you'd hold up your Bible too. Like, this is how much Abraham knew about God. This is how much we know about God. This is how much revelation Abraham had. The whole thing is what we have. So God is saying throughout the whole thing, this is what I'm like. This is what my character is like. This is my self-disclosure to you. Like, you remember how God says to Abraham, should I hide, or says to himself, should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do since I'm going to make him a great nation? No, I might as well tell him. Well, he doesn't hide stuff from you either. Like, he tells you what he's like throughout the whole thing. The whole book is him telling you what he's like. It's his self-disclosure. And maybe you grew up and you're like, my dad never ever talked about himself. Like, you find out after he dies all kinds of stories, all kinds of stuff about him, and you're like, wow, I didn't know you. Well, God is not like that. God tells us what he's like. He tells us about his character throughout the whole book. So get to know him through his word. Number one, get to know him because he wants a relationship with you. And it's not like trying to pursue a relationship with someone who doesn't want a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. So get to know him. Second, he wants obedience. So one of the reasons this is hard is obedience doesn't come natural, but God wants our obedience, and he wants us to be different than the world around us. And so if we're going to be in relationship with him, we're going to have to obey him. This is the essence of verse 19. For I've chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. So you, Dad, set them an example of what obedience looks like. Set them an example of what obedience looks like. They're going to catch as much from you as you teach them. They're going to watch you and see how you're actually living as much as they're going to hear what you're saying. But make sure you're saying stuff too. So, like, as in a personal example here, like, there's a lot of stuff. That I wish I could get back when it comes to parenting. But one of the things that I'm really, 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 really glad I did, and I say this especially to you young dads or you men who are going to be dads someday, one of the things that I'm really, really glad I did is I read Bible stories to my kids every night before bed. Every night before bed. So This is a really disappointing picture. And I'll tell you why. It's not because Cutie is on my lap. This dog is no longer with us. But Cutie heard a lot of Bible stories. And I'll tell you what, I don't think they did her any good. Zero. Didn't help her at all. Typically, I'd read to the younger two, you know, so Asher and Ezra would be there, and I'd be reading to them. And then I think Caleb and Titus. I think they came to join us because I was reading SpongeBob. I'm like, of all the pictures, of all the times you could have taken a picture of us, I'm reading SpongeBob. I read some good books. I read Pilgrim's Progress. Did she get a picture of that? No. She's like SpongeBob. He'll use this in a sermon someday. See how holy the pastor is. He's reading SpongeBob. So, you know, we would read a Bible story and then we'd read a fun book. And I guess Caleb and Titus thought it'd be cool to come in there and hear SpongeBob. So, read to your kids. Like, if you get anything from that, man, read Bible stories to your kids. Please read Bible stories to your kids as a key way that you're modeling for them reading the Bible. And you're modeling for them learning to obey the Lord. So they'll get to know Him, the Lord, obey Him, and then third, man, talk to Him. Like, this is what Abraham does. God is speaking to him, and so he speaks back to God. And when I say that, what I know is probably there are people that are probably like, I try to pray, and it, for all the world, it seems like my prayers kind of bounce off the ceiling. He really doesn't hear me when I pray. At least it feels like I'm talking to myself when I pray. I'd say there's two possibilities there. The first possibility is that you just have a wrong view of God, and you just have to believe by faith that He hears you. He really does hear you. And you just, because of whatever baggage or whatever pain or whatever hurt you have, like, you just have a hard time believing that He hears you, and so you have to tell yourself the truth, even when you feel like He doesn't hear you. You have to tell yourself the truth that He does hear you. The second possibility is that you are still far from Him, that you still have sin in your life, that you're still, let me read to you from Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God shows His love for us." You see how God initiates the relationship with here? Like, this is what we already talked about. We saw this with Abraham. We see it now in Romans. "But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It could be that you feel like God's not hearing your prayers because you are still in your sin. He is not your Savior yet. He is not your Lord yet. You're still far from Him. That could be why you feel this way. And then he goes on, "Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood," how are you justified? How do you become His kids? Is it by trying really hard and obeying? No, it's by His blood. He came and died on the cross to save you from your sins. "Much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God," as Jesus bore the wrath in our place. Verse 10, "For if while we were enemies..." Did you hear that? Could be you're still an enemy of God. Could be you're still running from God. Could be you still want to be king of your life and king of the universe, and you haven't really learned to pray, "Hallowed be Your name, not my name. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom come. Your will be done, not my will be done." "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall be saved by His life." I tell you, you can be saved. If you're far from God, if you're an enemy of God, you can be saved. Because He initiated the relationship by showing up and by dying on the cross for your sins, so that you could be reconciled back to Him, so that you can have a relationship with Him. The Lord wants a relationship, wants obedience, is slow to anger. So get to know him, obey him, and talk to him. So how is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? The thing I'd just tell you is he wants a relationship with you. He is pursuing you. Pursue a relationship with him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for showing up yourself in the person of Jesus and dying on the cross for our sins so that we could be reconciled back to you. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.